prayer and the teaching of God's word with us here today. Last week we took the first step in preparing the study, our study for 2 Thessalonians. Now 2 Thessalonians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonica church that he, Silas, Luke, and Timothy founded on Paul's second missionary journey. And to gain a better understanding of this letter, we familiarized ourselves with how the Thessalonica church came into existence. And we looked at the strategic importance the city could play in advancing the gospel throughout the world. Thessalonica, located on the Aegean Sea, and because of its shipping ports, provided shipping lanes for the gospel to travel to distant lands that that we would call the uttermost parts of the earth. As well, Thessalonica had a highway, a roadway, the Via Ignatia, that ran through the city, and it's represented by that red line there. And the Ignatian Road was built about BC 145. It was built by Rome, and its length was about 535 miles by our standard, our English standard of a mile. This highway built by Rome was about 20 feet wide. It was paved with large slabs and or covered with a heavy layer of sand. And highway travel was important to Rome holding on to its power. It is how Rome quickly moved its armies from one place to the next. It is estimated that Rome built over 50,000 miles of highway during its rule. And the highways provided easy travel to Rome, thus keeping Rome as an influential political power of the civilized world. And perhaps you've heard that saying, all roads lead to Rome. Well, that's where this comes from, that as Rome has built all these roads all came to Rome because Rome was the political power. It needed to have a means by which to disseminate its laws, disseminate its rules, disseminate its army, in order that it could politically control the land that it was in charge of. Indeed, this was a trademark of Rome. But we need to understand that the benefit of the road system and the shipping lanes also provided a passageway for the gospel to make its way around the world. I think it's interesting to note how God, in His sovereign plan, prepared the way for the gospel to make its way around the world on these Rome-built roads. He used the infrastructure of Rome by which to move His gospel throughout the world. So God facilitated a pathway for the gospel using Rome to spread the word. So with the shipping lanes, with the shipping ports located in Thessalonica, the Roman-built highway connecting the east to the west, it was no accident that God called Paul, Luke, and Silas, and Timothy to go to Macedonia. Notice it was God's plan to guide the missionary team. God had a specific plan. I remind you of Acts 16, verses 6 through 9. They passed through Phrygia and through Galatia region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go up into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to him. Now I add this point to the review of last week's message, because there is an important spiritual lesson that we need to learn here. The lesson is this: we should obey the leading of the Holy Spirit even when we don't understand why God is leading us in a certain direction. God has a sovereign plan. We may not always be privy to what that plan is or what the results are going to be when we are led one place or another. God doesn't always foretell us what is going to take place.
And so it's important to note that as Paul and the missionary team had their feet pointed towards Asia and then up into Bithynia, that God called them to go to Macedonia, and I think specifically for the purpose of not only going to Philippi, but establishing this church in Thessalonica would provide a passageway for the gospel to go into all the world. And so as Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy, they probably had no idea, no inkling at the time that God called them to Macedonia as to why they were going there and what was going to be accomplished there. It doesn't tell us in the scriptures that God said, hey, I want you to go to Thessalonica and there's seaports there and there's the Roman highway there and I'm going to use that whole infrastructure by which to spread my gospel throughout the world. No, God simply called them to go to Macedonia. And they may not have understood all the whys and wherefores as to why they were to go there, but God in his master plan knew. And it's interesting to note, and I so much appreciate this about this ministry team. In Acts 16, verse 9, it says, when the vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. That when that vision came to Paul, the beautiful thing that we find in Acts 16:10, when he had seen the vision, immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia. Now, think through this whole process for a moment. In the mind of the ministry team, they started out with the vision of Asia and Bithynia. Yet, when God spoke to their heart, they immediately changed their course of direction. They immediately followed the will of the Lord. The ministry team did not debate the leading of the Lord and the reasons why God might be leading them to Macedonia and stopping them from going into Asia. The ministry team, upon understanding the will of God, immediately changed their lives, changed their course of direction to conform to what God had asked of them. Church, in the same way, God may not always inform us as to why he is asking us to do something. He may not always inform us of why he's called us to a certain place to do a certain thing and to interact with a certain group of people. However, by faith, when we trust in the leading of God, when we are ready to follow the leading of God, we will be in the center of God's plan, and God has a plan that is far bigger than our imagination. God's plan has a far bigger purpose than what we can comprehend. And so the lesson that we learn in this is listen for the voice of God. What human reason may teach us, what we may conjure up in our own mind, may or may not be consistent with the Lord. That's why we must bring our plans before the Lord and have him speak to our hearts as to whether we're going the direction he wants us to go or not. The next spiritual lesson we learn from the church of Thessalonica is that as we come to understand more about the strategic plan or the strategic importance of the city of Thessalonica to the gospel, it's not surprising to find that the evil one would work with great diligence to stop the church from prospering and growing in Thessalonica. We saw how the unbelieving Jews not only rejected the gospel, but they hated the gospel. They hated Paul, and they persecuted both, wanting to stomp out Christianity, to undermine and to destroy the newly founded Christian movement in Thessalonica. You can read about that in Acts 17, 1 through 9. These unbelieving Jews, so committed to stopping the gospel, traveled 45 miles to Berea on foot to continue their assault on the gospel. This demonstrates the strong, intense passion and commitment they had to stopping the gospel. And as we think about that, I wonder how intense and strong our commitment is in taking the gospel to our family, taking the gospel to our friends, taking the gospel to our community, taking the gospel into the world. Here's the lesson. This young church in Thessalonica had a spiritual insight that was revealed later on down the road in 1 John 4:4. You remember this writing. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, this church, they got it right. They didn't have a defeatist attitude when they came against trial and problem. They didn't have a defeatist attitude in this congregation. Fear, they didn't shriek away from it. No fear of the challenges and difficulties that they faced. They stood firm in the face of persecution. This church continued with a brave and courageous faith. They believed, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, that same promise holds true for us today. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Perhaps there's some challenge, some trial you're facing. Maybe there's a family member who needs Jesus and you're wondering, is it ever going to happen? Maybe you think the gospel is being thwarted because the devil is throwing up all kinds of stop signs. Let me assure you, in the sovereignty of God and in the power of God, the stop signs of the devil mean nothing. They have no power against the authority of God. They have no power against the Spirit of God. We may be intimidated by the stop signs. God is not. God's will is not. God's power is not intimidated by those stop signs. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And so this is a lesson we learned from the church of Thessalonica, that as the evil one devised wicked strategies to crush the believer's faith and to destroy the spread of the gospel, the believer stood firm, knowing in whom they have believed, knowing and living out the principle of greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. The Thessalonica church did not allow the devil to lead them into spiritual shipwreck. They remained zealous for the Lord. What's your zealousness for the Lord and His will in 2022? Have you lost the vision for the mission of souls? Have you lost sight of the fact that God has given you the place of ambassadorship in this world? I want to take you on a little rabbit trail here because it's important to our understanding of God's will for our church. And then I'll come back to Thessalonica here in a moment. In the CMA, there are 7 core values that we claim to be essentials to our success as servants on the Lord, as servants of the Lord. Those are listed on the back of your bulletin there. And note, the first principle of the 7 is this: lost people matter to God, and He wants them found. Lost people matter to God, and He wants them found. That's the whole purpose of the missionary journey of Paul. That's the whole purpose of establishing a church in Thessalonica, so that the gospel would go forward into the world, seeking to save the lost. The core value of the CMA is supported by Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You realize that, don't you? That Jesus came to earth to seek and to save the lost. Jesus left His throne in glory to seek and to save the lost. Jesus was immaculately conceived and born of the Virgin to seek and to save the lost. Jesus took on the form and the appearance of a man to seek and to save the lost. Jesus endured great suffering and hardship, dying on the cross in order to seek and to save the lost. Jesus rose again on the third day because he was seeking to save the lost. And then Jesus, prior to his ascension into heaven, assigned to his followers the Great Commission, assigning us the role of being his ambassador and setting us as a light upon the hill. You know why? Because Jesus is continuing to seek and to save the lost through his church, through his body, through those that are called the children of God. Do you have evangelism eyes for the world? Do you still have evangelism eyes for family and friends who don't know Jesus? Do you anguish in your soul before the throne of grace, calling out to the name of God and saying, Lord, this family member of mine doesn't know you. Would you open their heart? My good friend doesn't know you. Would you open their heart? This person that I work with, they don't know you, Lord. Would you use me to be your instrument of righteousness in their life and to speak the truth to them, and that you would open their heart? Do you have evangelism eyes for those in your sphere of influence? Let us not become desensitized by the routines and the busyness of our lives, that we lose sight of the mission to seek and to save the lost. For we have been sent by Jesus for this very eternal purpose of bearing light and bearing witness to the light and to the gospel, that people would be able to join us on that great day when Jesus takes his church home. What greater thing can we do for those we love, those we know, those we come into contact with throughout our day, than to help them understand who Jesus is and that he provides to them eternal life? Knowing this, beloved, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and he has sent us to fulfill that mission today. Are there people in your sphere of influence? Are you praying for salvations of souls? Are you seeking opportunity to be light? After all, there is a purpose for which Jesus has left you on this earth, and it coincides with the purpose for which he came, to seek and to save the lost. So I guess that's a third spiritual principle we can take away from today's lesson. Lost people matter to God, and he wants them found. This was the priority of Jesus, so this should be our priority as well. Then finally, my final point today springboards off the observation we made about the character and heart of the Thessalonica church at the end of the service last week. We noted as the spiritual attack from the evil one intensified against the young church and the young believers, the church did not back down but stood up and fought the good fight. They stood firm in their faith. And last week we concluded our lesson noting the heart and character of the church, 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 4. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. In these verses, we looked at the work of faith, the labor of love, the steadfastness of hope. These are beautiful words of testimony that poured out of the lives of the believers in Thessalonica. Now, I'm not going to re-preach the message about these attributes and character traits. However, I do want to point out something before we move to the text of 2 Thessalonians. You remember with me, back to the teaching of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Many refer to 1 Corinthians 13 as the love chapter. And in this chapter, at the conclusion of chapter 13, verse 13, three noteworthy attributes, three noteworthy character traits are highlighted by Paul as abiding and enduring. In 1 Corinthians 13, 13, it says, "But now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." I find it interesting in 1 Thessalonians 1, that Paul identifies the church of Thessalonica as being a group of believers who exhibit and live out these spiritual qualities in their life: work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope. What this teaches us is that living a life of faith, living a life filled with hope, living a life that is a conduit of love, is not an impossible dream that was written about in 1 Corinthians 13. It is an attainable reality for the people of God and the church of God. We can live our lives under the umbrella of a life of faith, a life of hope, a life of love. It is not impossible for us to get there through the power of the Holy Spirit and through His filling. We can be the ambassador and the light for Jesus that He has called us to be. That is how we become successful and seeking and saving the lost, is by walking in the empowerment of God, walking in the Spirit of God, bearing the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Let me show you how this worked out for Thessalonica. Because it says in the passage that they had joy in their tribulation. And let me show you how this attitude, this character that developed in this personal walk that these believers had with God. Let me share with you how it played out. This is what Paul Harvey would call the rest of the story. Because something happened as a result of the character development that occurred in the life of the believers. Notice, as the devil sought to stop the spread of the gospel with persecution and false teaching tactics, the devil in reality created a great wind that resulted in the fanning of the flame of the gospel as it spread to the rest of the world. Just as it was with Joseph in the Old Testament, so it was with the Thessalonica church in the New Testament. What the devil intended for evil, God turned to good. On the front of your bulletin, 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 8 says this: work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope, that character that is developed within them. Verse 6, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord had sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serving a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." Notice in verse 6, Paul says to the church, "You also became imitators of us and the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Spirit." Now, these are words of praise that Paul puts upon the church. And basically what he's saying is, you have remained faithful in much tribulation. You have depended upon the Holy Spirit, who has helped you to see the greater purpose in your suffering. And you have joyfully endured under the pressure brought on you by the evil one. You, this young church, made up of young believers, you have become imitators of us and of the Lord. Now, think about that. Paul and Silas, they were beat up pretty good in Philippi. And did that stop them in their spread of the gospel? No, they moved on to Thessalonica and they proclaimed the truth. And then when the mobs rose against them in Thessalonica, did they finish proclaiming the gospel there? No, they moved on to Berea to share the gospel. Paul says to the church, hey, the things that have happened to us, it's happening in you too. You've become imitators of us. That as we have remained faithful under persecution, so you do too. And you know what? That isn't something that comes from us. It comes from the Lord. That's what the Lord did. In spite of the persecution, in spite of the false witness, in spite of all the things that came against our Lord, what did he do? He remained faithful to the will of God. He remained faithful to seek and to save the lost. And Paul is saying to the Thessalonica church, as we have done, as the Lord has done, so you too are doing. The term imitator literally means you have become followers of us and the Lord. You are behaving in the same manner as us, following the same pattern. A remarkable observation concerning these believers who are so young in the faith. And I got to believe for Paul, this had to be, and not in an ungodly way, but in a spiritual praise God way. What a proud moment in the ministry of Paul, that this church has grasped the truth. They have grasped the gospel. And in living color, he is watching them live out the truth. That had to be a great encouragement, the Apostle Paul in his ministry. And he writes back to the church, well done, church. Good job. I see the growth. I see the good things that is happening in you. And I see the good things that is happening through you. Hasn't been easy, but it's been worth it, as we saw last week. The Greek term for tribulation means pressure. Despite the pressure faced, you continue to experience the joy of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you don't walk around murmuring and grumbling about how tough the circumstances are and the pressure that has come upon you. Matter of fact, I kind of get the idea their faith was not overwhelmed by the pressure, but they overwhelmed the pressure with their faith. How do you deal with tribulation in your life and the pressure in your life? Does it overwhelm you, or do you overwhelm the tribulation and the pressure with your faith in God? Standing firm in the faith. 1 Thessalonians 1:7 says, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. This is really is, in my mind, or has been for me, a favorite passage of teaching, because I think it says so much. Now remember, steadfastness of hope, labor of love, work of faith, as they grew in their relationship with the Lord and they remain faithful to the Lord. It says now that they've become an example to all believers. The church, the believers, an example in their hometown and beyond. The Greek term example comes from the Greek term tupos. The Greek term tupos describes the act of leaving an impression on something or someone. So let me share with you a couple examples of what this idea of leaving an impression on something or someone might look like. Now, some of you maybe remember in the days before screw guns were used to hang sheetrock, People used a hammer and sheetrock nails to hang the sheetrock. And what they would do when they would hang the sheetrock is that final blow of the hammer onto the nail was to drive the nail below the surface of the sheetrock, because you don't want the nails popping out when you go and look when they go to finish off the wall. And so when they drive that final drive of the hammer on that nail head, there would be an indentation that it would be left on the drywall. There would be an impression or an indentation of the hammer head on that drywall. Therefore, if you were to walk into a construction site prior to the sheetrock being taped and textured, everywhere you would look, you would see these indentation of hammerheads across the room where the nails of the sheetrock had been driven. This is an example of how our testimony for Christ should be lived before the unsaved. When the testimony of our life comes up against the life of a non-believer, the testimony that we hold for Jesus should have such a positive impact for Christ that we would leave an impression for Jesus on their heart, on their soul, on their conscience. That the way in which we live, the way in which we talk, the way in which we treat people, the way in which we conduct our business, the way in which we help others, that the testimony that we bear as believers should be as that hammerhead hitting the nail on the sheetrock. Boom! Our testimony leaves an impression, a positive impression for Christ on the life of an unsaved person. A second way to understand the term two posts is to think about the kings of old who would seal their letters with wax and a signia ring. The practice was to melt wax on the letter seal. And as the wax began to harden, the king would press his signia ring into the soft wax, thus leaving an impression or an indentation of the royal seal in the wax. Now, the purpose of this royal seal, this indentation into the wax, is that that royal seal in the wax proved the authenticity of the letter as having come from the king. And so, in the same way, in the way that we live our life according to scriptural principle, according to the character guidelines defined for us in the Word of God, in our following of the Lord Jesus Christ as we seek the filling of His Holy Spirit, that when our lives come up against the unsaved, do they see in the wax of our life the indentation of the signet ring of our King that shows us to be authentic followers of Jesus? What do people see when our lives come up against them as believers? Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Is that the indentation that people see on our life when we come against them? The testimony of the church was an example, two posts, of God, and they left an impression of faith and faithfulness on others and how they lived, even while under great pressure and tribulation. Indeed, sometimes it's hard to live faithful for Jesus, wouldn't you agree? Sometimes circumstances are tough. Sometimes our emotions get all, you know, tumbled up and cross-wired in our life. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. Next, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1:8, "For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith towards God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything to you." The term translated "sounded forth" comes from a Latin word that is also similar or the same as the Greek word ekouo. We get our English word echo from this term. Now, an echo is a sound that copies a sound. The echo is produced when a sound wave bounces off a surface and the sound repeats itself. Thus, Paul is saying to the church, the word of the Lord is echoing off you. It is bouncing off your life. It is repeating itself in the lives of other people. Just as Paul said, they had become imitators of the ministry of the Lord. As they have echoed what Jesus has done, and as the ministry team has echoed what Jesus has done, and as those in Thessalonica echoed what the Lord has done, so as people come against the testimony of the Thessalonica church, they too begin to get the example of what it means to be the echo of God. They were reproducing the sound, that testimony of faith. "For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you." It is echoing into Macedonia. Now, going back to the map, we note that Macedonia is made up of the city of Thessalonica, Berea, Philippi, Neapolis, Amphipolis, Apollonia, and Nicopolis. All of these cities were in their region, and remember, we're talking foot traffic here. Their testimony expanded in their region. Then it talks about Achaia. This includes the city of Athens, Corinth, Cenchrea, and Sparta. Now, Athens is 189 miles from Thessalonica. And so their testimony by foot, by ship, has traveled 180 miles. And their faith is influencing people 189 miles away. And then every place. Remember, Thessalonica, located on the Roman highway, which connects the east to the west. It was located on the Aegean Sea, which connects Thessalonica with all the major seaports of the world. Thus, the tremendous faith of this body of believers took the gospel into distant lands, distant places. The faith of the believers was so transparent and obvious, so real and true, that people traveling to and from the city remember what they saw in the lives of the believers in Thessalonica. They saw how they managed themselves in faith against the persecution. And when people saw that, it left an impression on them. And people talked about it. They echoed it. What they learned about faith from the people of Thessalonica. Wow. I hope in some small way that in my life, I can be that kind of example. I can be that kind of echo to others that would bring the truth to them in such a way that I would be able to fulfill the mission that Jesus has called me to seek and to save the lost. What echoes out of your life? What reverberates from you? Faith? Love? Hope? Are you the ambassador? The city set upon the hill, seeking to save the lost. Last observation for this morning. When I think about the city of Thessalonica, it reflects what we seek to teach and model at True Life Church. Now, We have a church motto that says, make it real to make a difference. And this motto, when we expand it in its context, make it real, do the right thing for the right reason with the right heart, to make a difference at home, in the church, and throughout the world. Now, this mission statement is more than just a nice little spiritual ditty that we say. For this principle specifically came from this passage. It actually has biblical root system that is sunk deep into the principles of 1 Thessalonians 1. The Thessalonica church, to accomplish the task of making a difference for God, had to first allow God to make a difference in them. As they followed God, as they made it real with God, they grew in the spiritual attributes of faith, hope, and love. And it is as they grew in these attributes of faith, hope, and love in their life, they then, by fruit, made a spiritual difference in the lives of other people. Now, I'm not sure that as the church pursued God faithfully and they sought to be obedient to God faithfully, that they had sketched out their big plan of how it was that they were going to take the gospel to the world. I think what happened in Thessalonica is that as the church and the young believers sold their hearts out to Jesus, and they decided to follow Jesus with a whole heart, that it was God's plan to use them to take the gospel throughout the world. And God was preparing them for that mission even before they knew what it was that God wanted to do in and through them. And maybe they only knew about what God did and through them as a result of when they got to the other end and they looked back and they said, wow, Paul noted that this community, these churches, these people were influenced by our faithfulness. You see, making a difference grows out of Jesus making a difference in us. When you are walking a faith-filled relationship with God, God is going to use your life to impact others. When God is having a personal impact in your life, your life will become an imitator of God. You will be the example of the love, grace, and mercy of God. The testimony of the Lord will echo forth from you, and it will impact others in how they see Jesus. And it will impact others to be able to see the gift of God that brings to them eternal life. God did amazing things through a young church with young believers in Thessalonica. Therefore, if we focus on making it real with God, God will use us to make a difference for Him. So what have we seen today? Quite a bit of stuff. God doesn't always show us why, but He will always call us to obey, exemplified in the call of Macedonia. Greater is He that is in me than he is in the world. And so as the devil seeks to oppose us by throwing up his stop signs, we are not going in our power. We're going in the power of God. And God's power is greater than the stop signs the devil can throw out there. Lost people matter to God, and He wants them found. This was the priority of Jesus. He came to seek and to save the lost. This should be our priority as well. And as we follow Jesus, making our faith walk real with God, God will use our testimony, life, and giftedness to show others the way. We will make a difference for the Lord when we are allowing God to make a difference in us. So let's be the two posts of God. And may His light and His testimony echo forth from us as we are imitators of the Lord. My challenge to you is to look at your life. Is there an area of your life that needs to be brought under the authority of Jesus? Is there a place where you are failing to make it real with God in your life? Is there a place that you need to bring under the Lordship of Jesus in following Him? You see, because that's the way we fill the mission. That's the way we make a difference. And so today, as we close our message, it seems to me appropriate for us to just together to go over this motto, and hopefully it is more than just a spiritual ditty. Hopefully it's more than just some nice spiritual words put on overhead or on a PowerPoint. Overhead, that sure dates you. That we put on the PowerPoint, but that it will be embraced because it comes from biblical principle. It's a truth that we seek to follow. Let's stand together. Make it real. Do. For. With. Make a difference at. In. Throughout. It is God's work. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You love us and that through the teaching of Your word that You help us to understand that we are not called to an impossible task as long as that we are walking side by side with You. We thank You, Father, that Your Holy Spirit indwells us. We thank You that the word teaches us. We thank You, Lord, that You have saved us. We thank You, Lord, that we are born again and that we are the children of God. I would ask, Lord, that as a result of today's message, that Your Spirit would simply speak to our hearts throughout this week, that as we pursue You and are more conformed to the image of Your Son, that we would also be more useful to You in seeking and saving the lost. We love You, Father, and thank You for the way in which You sought us, the way in which You found us, and the way which that You have brought us into Your family. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you as you walk with Jesus this week.